Let's continue discussing inyanim relating to slichos and Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I want to finish up a few short ideas relating to slichos. Many of you are familiar that there are certain sections of slichos where we speak to malachim. Machnisei rachamim, midas harachamim olai hiskagalti. So there's a very big debate among the poskim if it's proper to say it. The Maral was very against, probably the strongest opponent to reciting things that make any mention of Malachim. It's recorded the Chassam Soif, and all of his Talmidim, his following also were very opposed to mentioning anything about Malachim and Midos in the Slichos. Now there's a big question. We do mention Malachim here and there. For example, Friday night, Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Asharis. Indeed, some don't say it, some do say it. And then there's Oseh Shalom Bimromav, Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleichem, V'Alkolis, or the Imru Amin. There's also a question of what exactly that means. Oseh Shalom Bim, Hu Yaseh Shalom, what that means, who's the Imru Amin? Are we addressing the Malachim? So there are parts of davening which everyone says which do allude to Malachim. We're not going into those details. You ask them to bless you. You accompany you home. Then the big debate is, do you ask them, Baruchuni L'Shalom? Baruchuni L'Shalom. Bless us. So okay, there is a debate. Some do, some do not. Some skip, some do not skip. So there's a very, he quotes here a very interesting Malbim. The Malbim explains that there are different types of people. There are different types of drachim in Avodas HaTfilah. There are certain people who are able, who when they pray have the ability, the concentration to pray directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very high madrega, he explains. And those people indeed should not be praying. You're not speaking to Malachim. You're not asking them to assist you. But he explains that there are people that are not in the madrega. They're not comfortable with speaking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the form of prayer is a more indirect prayer, where they're basically talking to themselves, or they're speaking to themselves about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos and about their own zechusim. It's a different derech in tefillah. Instead of focusing, who a person has the right to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and talk to him panim upon him? Maybe when you're davening Shemona Esrei, maybe when you're davening, there are different times. In the Chalim, there are different madrigas, and we daven the different parts of tefillah. When you say Kriya Shema Mikra Hadin, you're allowed to say it when you're lying down, and you're allowed to say it when you're not fully dressed. But he's saying the most important thing: Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You're not talking to Hashem. You're talking to yourself. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So therefore you're not allowed to be completely undressed. You have to be covered. The erva has to be covered, but the top part of your body doesn't have to be perfect, 100% covered. And you can be in a position that's not respectful. But when you daven Shemona Esrei, oh, that's a whole different story. Then you have to be standing. You have to be dressed in a respectful way. You're not allowed to be intoxicated. There are many different directions, because then you're speaking directly. Just like that concept of Shema Yisrael verse Amida, in davening, there are many different parts of davening. When you daven, when you're saying slichos, is that like saying Shemona Esrei? When you're saying the Yud Gimel Midos Harachem, indeed, then you're speaking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you're saying the parts of tefillah, this is debatable. What is your frame of mind? This is the Malbim speaking. What is a person's proper frame of mind throughout various parts of tefillah? Are you confronting HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, or are you really, to some degree, speaking to yourself and speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, this is the nafka mina if it's proper to make mention of Malachim. If you are of the opinion, like the Maral, Chassam Sofer, that every single part of tefillah, a person should focus, should strive to be in direct contact, to be opposite HaKadosh Baruch Hu and speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's right. Number one, you should be in the katzer. Don't daven too much. It's not their chutz to repeat yourself too much. Just recite the basics and don't ever mention Malachim. You know, it's not respectful. Talk about Malachim in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are groups of people in Klal Yisrael that have certain sensitivities and they break up their tefillah different sections, and certain parts are not meant to be spoken directly. It's more meant to be referenced in a roundabout way. Then it's appropriate to be marich sort of long, to recite long piyutim that go on for hours and hours, and in Echnami, and talk about malachim, talk about what they do, and ask them to help out and to assist. It's a different derech. He tries to explain that it's not just a matter of a halachic issue of, are you allowed to ask a malach or not allowed to ask a malach? It touches upon something that's much more fundamental about what bichlal is the derech of tefillah. Because you're asking the dead to pray on your behalf.
You're talking to someone
on your behalf.
They have the power.
But you're supposed to Hashem, and there is a chos. Most people say that.
But in fact,
some taka hold that you go to a cemetery. You really are talking to the dead. You tell them that dead. You go and you should help me out. Okay. Next topic. Next topic is tachlan. At the end of slichos, we say tachlan, and this is the very beginning. Do you say the pasuk Vayomer David El God Tzar Li Ma'od Nivlava Biyad Hashem? Is that so? It's very mysterious as to why that is part of Tachlan during the week. In fact, you're not everyone says it. You're not going to know this. You're not going to know who says Vayomer David El God Tzar Li Ma'od, because when your head is down, you don't hear what other people are saying. But not everyone says those two psukim. The part of Tachlan is to say a mizmor and Tehillim with your head down. We want you to mention this, a different mizmor, the Sfardim, Ashkenazim. Vayomer David is more of a introduction. So it's one thing to have that introduction when you're davening during tefillah, but you have to have that introduction during selichos. It appears not. It appears that it was not the custom originally to say Vayomer David El God Tzar Li Ma'od Niplana B'yad Hashem Ki Rabim Rachma B'yad Adam Alapula. It's a new thing B'chlal for tefillah, but you don't have to go so far to say it during slichos. However, in all of our slichos, it is printed. So whatever the printers, they make the big decisions. The printers are the one who... It's always in smaller font, but it is printed. The big question is, what happens if there is a chosan in Beis HaKnesses during Slichos? Or let's say there's a Bris Milah that is planned to take place after davening. Or let's say one is saying Slichos in the Beis Ovel. Do you say Tachnun as part of Slichos? You're not going to say Tachnun part of davening. Are you going to say part of Slichos? This is a major Machlekes HaPoskim. There are customs. This is the rabbi's call. Beis Ovel, there are definitely Minhagim that you don't say Tachnun in the Beis Ovel even during Slichos. And then there are cause that say the slichos is a world to itself. You always say slichos no matter what. The proof to that is Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we do not say tachnun part of the davening, but we do say tachnun part of the slichos. So it goes to show that the tachnun of slichos is independent, has nothing to do with other events today. Now that's not a perfect proof, because it used to be in ancient times, the real time to say slichos is b'ashmeres haboker. Ideally, slichos should have been completed before Alois HaShachar, before at least Nates. And so since slichos is really part of the night, it's being said during a time when it's premature to cancel Tachnun. You don't say Tachnun Erev Rosh Hashanah, because Erev Rosh Hashanah, when do you daven Shachris? During the day. Shachris is meant to be daven during the day. So it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to say Tachnun. But Slichos is supposed to be said the Ashmeres HaBoker before the rise of dawn. Before dawn. So it's not yet day. So then there's a time when you really should be saying Tachnun. So this will be Avod Afasa, so it's not necessary, but if you would be saying Tachnun a little bit later on, or let's say there's a Chosan. A Chosan doesn't make a difference if the Chosan is getting married. Let's say the Chosan got married last week during Shev Brachas. So the Chosan could come and say Slichas Vashemaris HaBarakas, the Chosan would cancel. An Avel is an Avel at night, is the way, is an Avel at night, is an Avel during the day also. So an Avel would cancel. The only thing would be a Bris Mila, because a Bris can only be done by Yoim Hashmini Yimol Basar Olaso. So a bris is only meant to be done by day. Slichas was meant to be done at night. So even if you're violent, even if you're having a late slichas, you're saying slichas during the day, you have an excuse to say that there should be tachlin, because slichas is shayach to Hashmeres HaBoker, bris mila shayach to the day. It's no different than Erev Rosh Hashanah when you don't say tachlin by davening, when you do say tachlin during slichas. So the only time that it's legitimate for real not to say tachlin is a chosan during the Shiva Yimei Mishteh, who's present in the Beis HaKnesses, and in the Beis Avel. So there's much stronger grounds not to say Tachnun during those two tkufas, but during a Bris Mila, even if the Bris is taking place during the day, then it's not not so pasha, then you follow the pattern of Erev Rosh Hashanah, you say Slicha, you say Tachlin by the Slichas, but you know, and because the Bris Milah is by day. However, not Mechuch, there are different opinions. There's a big Mechuch. Some say you always say Tachlin no matter what, and some say you never say Tachlin if you have any excuse for not to say Tachlin. Okay, let's go to another idea. The slichas, now we're not familiar with all these terms, there are different terms for slichas. There's a slicha called a shniya, a slicha called a shlish, a shlishes, a shlishi is called, and there's a slicha called a shalmoinis. You ever heard of this?
Yeah.
A shalmoinis?
At the beginning of the slicha.
It says what it is?
It is, yeah.
And then there's a slicha called an akeda. Four different brands, and then a pizmon. We discussed the pizmon, so there's really a total of five. Five different categories. What? At least five categories. Why is it called a shniya? Shniya means they're basically the rhyme, two couplets. A shlishis has three couplets. A shalmoinis is shalem. Shalem is all four sides. Something which is the four ruchos hashamayim. So it's called a shalmoinis. And an akeda is a slicha which focuses on the zuchus of the akeda. And the pism we discussed, it appears that in ancient times, each one of these had a unique nigun. A yoitzer is something that you add in the bracha of yoitzer R. A korva is something that you add towards the beginning, it's korov, towards the beginning of Shemona Esrei. Then there's something called they're all different expressions, right? A korva, a yoitzer, what else? I don't, what? Oh, the, I don't remember. Okay, these are just something that are unique to slichas. Shniya, shlishi, shalmoinis, and akeda, and pizmon. It appears each one had a unique nigun. And sometimes that's that. And the reason why we tell you what it is to remind the shots which nigun to use, because the nigun would fit, the nigun of a shalmoinis is a nigun which fits to anything which has four couplets or four stanzas, whatever it is. Coming out together. Okay, next inyan is the Shlech Tzibur. Who should be the Shlech Tzibur? Shlech Tzibur, there's a discussion, it can be an Avil be a Shlech Tzibur, everything's a Machlech Zapa, it's an Avil be a Shlech Tzibur for Shlechus, for the Yom Naroim. He's a Rogel, someone who's not married. The Mishnah Berurah makes a very big issue that he should be married, because it's just like the Kohen Gadol, the first Mishnah Masechet Yoma, the Kohen Gadol, not only was he married, they had a backup wife. The Mishnah Berurah makes mention of that.
What happened if he didn't marry?
What? If what?
She was Beulah.
So she gets married to someone else. She's only a backup over Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur is over, so she goes, she marries someone else. Next Yom Kippur, they'll get a new backup. What? She was a backup. She was right to the Kohen Gadol. So it's a good yichus. It's good for a shidduch resume. Put on the shidduch resume. She went to this seminary, and she was also miyuchad as the backup for the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, okay, next thing. Let's go to the next thing. There's a minute to fast. There's a minute to fast. Oh, Shlech Tzibur. Okay, so Shlech Tzibur. What? Having a beard, a zaken, it should be 30 years old. There are many things. 30 years old, should have a beard. The main thing, have children, should have young children. It says young children, because young children, you have rachmanis. Older children, you don't have rachmanis on. The younger children, you have more rachmanis on. And then the very big issue.
You don't have targil, but you have in
a zaken.
Yeah, you can't be on a bed. You can't be
on a bed, and if you don't have children, you don't have rachmanis. And it should be 30 years old.
If you have it, you haven't had targil, one of the 40 years already,
you're expired. Then you lose out the rachmanis. To have a rachman. There's also, if a person is not 30, but they have to be 25. Why? Where does the number 30 and 25 come from? The numbers 30 and 25, the place can say, comes from the Levim. The Levim entered into the base of for training when they were 25 years old, and they entered the service when they were 30 years old. So those two numbers. One, they retired at 50, so those two numbers, but you're not going to be able to push away a Shlech Tzibur when there it's a mile to be a little bit old to be a Shlech Tzibur, but you're not going to be able to live with these two numbers. 25 and 30 are discussed, commonly discussed in the earliest age to be a Shlech Tzibur. Then there's another very big issue when the Mishnah Berurah makes a big mention, a lot of places mentions a Ben Torah. Someone who is, his occupation is to study, learn Torah, he's a Melamed, he's a Rav, a person that is involved on a daily basis with Talmud Torah, has Kedima, that is the most over a person. person who has all the other milos and is not involved into a person that's purely in business. He's not involved in learning at all, but he's the perfect age, he has children, he has a beard, is still has to stand down in the presence of a person who does not have any of these milos, but who is clearly in the category of being a ben Torah, provided, of course, he has a good voice. Okay, he has to have a good voice. If he doesn't have a good voice, oh, and the overriding, the oil al gabeim is mirutze lakol. I once asked the Taka the Shaila, I asked the Shaila to a big poisek about davening, about being an ovel, all the problems, ovel not being married, and not having a beard, all alamilas. And I asked this in fact the two poisek, and they instantly said, without even breathing, with a heartbeat, Merutzilakol. If the tzibor is happy with this is what they want, there's nothing to talk about. Merutzilakol is the only thing that counts halacha l'maaseh when everything else is said and done. All of these other issues are all issues. When everyone is merutzilakol, the only issue is which one is a better candidate. Okay, let's go to another topic. Erev Rosh Hashanah is a minute to fast Erev Rosh Hashanah. So, someone like me, I'm an Aretz. Why do you fast Erev Rosh Hashanah? It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why not, right? You got to get into the mood. You gotta get into the mood. You gotta get into the mood of Rosh Hashanah. So you fast. So you don't want to have a. What better thing could you do? That's Taka Chuba. But Chai Adam says a much more important reason. The reason why you fast Erev Rosh Hashanah, whole different change. It's the last day of the year. It has nothing to do with the future. Ask an average person what? The new year is coming. You're getting in the mood for the new year. It's all about the future, where your future takes you. No, the Chaya Adam says, that's not the Pshat. It's the end. It's the last day. The last is the most important. You can be misaking on the last day all the mistakes he made the whole year. The whole year. Everything depends on a kol holich achar hagmar. You want to finish off the year on a positive note. So let me at least be a tzaddik for one day a year. It's a whole different perspective. It's very unsettling, this idea. Really, I don't know, for me, it really shook me up. It totally changes what you're trying to do the last day of the year. I don't look at it like that. I come Erev Rosh Hashanah to davening. You know, everyone is in a different mood. It's all about the future. It's all about tomorrow. It's all about, you know, getting ready for Yom Tov. No, that's not what it's about. It's about, you know, 365 or 354 days. This year was even longer. This year was a leap year. I don't even remember any year. Yeah, was a leap year. It was a leap year this year. So there was a long year. You made a lot of mistakes. You made a lot of mistakes this year. You should be misaking. The last day can be misaking all the mistakes of HaKol Holich Achar HaGmar. How long do you fast for? So everyone is more familiar. You only fast a half a day, right? That's probably very common. There are people, if you're able to not have a cup of coffee before davening, so many people will go for it. They'll fast a half a day. It's not what?
Before
slichas, before alos hashachar. Okay, so there is such a thing, but the truth is that's not the ikar. The ikar is you're supposed to fast till plaga mincha. You're supposed to fast until the whole day, which is plaga mincha, which is 9.5 hours. For whatever reason, it's too hard for most people to fast that long, so it's a cop out. We only fast until chatzos. In fact, there's a very big mile. The machlekes apoyskim. You don't see this done. I never saw this. Never heard of this. Is let's say you have 10 people that are fasting and they daven mincha gedoyla. Mincha gedoyla is past chatzos. Vayichal with anein with achalavan. You can't say anein malkenu because of Rosh Hashanah. But you would say vayichal and you would say aneinu. So there's a machlekes apoyskim if you should do it. Some say yes, some say no. Some say since no one is you're not supposed to complete the fast. Not everyone agrees. Everyone agrees that you should not fast longer than plag hamincha. 9.5 hours. You should break it because you should not enter into Yom Tov in a state of affliction, of tsar. So you have to break the fast. So the big machlek is a poiskin. If you're only planning on going to plaga mincha, should you say vayichal aneinu, yesh v'yesh?
You can always be mekabel on tainus
l'shuras. You can be mekabel on, but do you say, you can be mekabel on shuras, and you can taka say also, no, you don't say vayichal, you don't. Tainus l'shuras.
and you have a Kabbalah for half a day, and Plaga Mincha comes here.
No, I don't think you do.
Everyone fasted there.
No, the people that are fasting, every Yom Kippur Kodesh, they're fasting the entire day. And you should know that even every Yom Kippur Kodesh, Machlekes HaPais, can be mentioned, we just spoke about Yom Kippur Kodesh, Machlekes HaPais, it's the proper thing to say, Vayichal and Aneinu on Yom Kippur Kodesh, because Vayichal, I guess it ties into every Roshan as well, Vayichal and Aneinu were established for an Eis Tzara, a Yom Tzom, Asar B'Teve, Shavas B'Tamas, Tainas Seser, an Eis Tzara. Tshuva, Erev Yom Kippur Katan is not together in Eis Tzara. We use it. We unfortunately combine the two, but it's not what it was. If let's say Baruch Hashem, there are no wars and there's Shalom Al Yisrael and just people just for tshuva purposes, they just want to reach a higher madrega. They want to fast Yom Kippur Katan, and the fasting Yom Kippur Katan, do you is it proper to say like Chal Aneinu? Not so simple.
Now, okay. Is it proper for them to say Lishmat Aleinu?
That's part of the question. That's part of the question. Aneinu. To say Aneinu is
if someone,
okay, there's a machlekes.
A private person is mekabel a tainus on a Monday, on a mincha, and he comes the next day and he fasts. He says it in Mishmar Esrei. He says, "Ana Hashem tislach, forgive me for my."
But not Aneinu. Not Aneinu. Aneinu is something which only someone does at Sibur. You don't say, and you can say whatever you want to say in the Shon Esrei. There's a whole long list of things you can say in the Shon Esrei. But to say Aneinu is miyuchid for a Tzibur fasting. And then the question is, why are they fasting? Are they fasting for tshuva purposes? Are they fasting for an Eis Tzara? So this is a discussion we've never seen. You've never heard yet. Erev Rosh Hashanah, come at 1:45. We're davening. We're saying Vayichal. We're going to lay in Vayichal and Aneinu. I've never heard this before in Erev Rosh Hashanah. Even though you're supposed to fast Erev Rosh Hashanah, and ideally you should fast until Plaga Mincha, the meaning is not to fast past Chatzais, because we're very weak, and this is the Takana. Okay, let's now go to Hataras Nedarim. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we do Hataras Nedarim, and the question is, what about a person's wife? Why is it that only men do Hataras Nedarim? Why don't women do Hataras Nedarim? So the truth is, in the girls' schools, they all do it. Okay, my sister told me that they used to all, everyone sit down and everyone would do it, and they do a mass Hataras Nedarim. What? They have the three men. Three men do it. They bring in the three men from the office. Every girls' school has somewhere men hiding somewhere in the basement.
Lurking in the shadows.
So they bring them out of the basement and they stay. My missus, they sit on the stage, the principal and the three men, and all the girls, the whole school, will together recite in Prospect Park. So in the Prospect Park, they all recite together in the auditorium, Hataras Nedarim, and the three men would respond in Imataneda for 500 girls in one shot. But once a woman leaves Beis Yaakov and they go and they go out into the world and they're married, so you never saw a woman coming Erev Rosh Hashanah. And we've seen women do everything, so I've never seen a woman do Hataras Nedarim with the men Aaron. I've never seen it. I don't know. I've not done. I've seen women come to Slichos every night, but I've never seen women come and participate in the Hataras Nedarim. So what's up with that? Why not? So one answer, the common answer is women have the custom to rely upon Kol Nidre. That's enough. Men, they do it twice. Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, most women come to Shul for Kol Nidre, and that's enough. The Kol Nidre serves as their Hataras Nidarim. Okay, that's one, that's a simple approach. Others say that it's proper for, first of all, there's a halacha hill in the Hataras Nidarim, you cannot appoint a shliach to be Matir Neder. A very unusual halacha. No, you have to, not only that, you're not allowed to even do it through a letter, to send a letter. And the Poskim say you can't do it over the telephone, even though the Poskim, you can make Havdalah, and you can do the Megillah over the telephone, but Hataras Nedarim, you cannot do over the telephone. You have to be physically present in front of a bez to do Hataras Nedarim. The only exception to this is a wife. Ishtoi kegufoi, a husband can serve as his wife's shliach to do Hataras Nedarim. Some poskim advise you, we've never seen this done, is that when a person does Hataras Nedarim, he should tell the Beis Din, I'm doing it not just for myself, I'm doing this for my wife.
But he has to ask her first.
What?
He has to ask her.
I don't know if he has to ask her. Ishtar Gufa itself. Okay, I don't know.
No, he has to ask her because otherwise she'll do the same thing again. What good is it?
All right. This is a very interesting thing, is that a person should make HaTorah Asnarim. Okay, then there's another very interesting thing that if you can...
That only applies to one category of women. Not
a wife, exactly. Only applies to a wife. Does not apply to a single to a woman, because she then has to rely upon Kol Nidre. And if she does not come to shul for Kol Nidre, then either she should do it herself. I guess she should ask three men, or I guess she doesn't do it. I don't know. Or maybe you want to say that the Kol Nidre is so powerful, even if you're not present, it works. It's done for the whole Klal Yisrael, for the whole Tzibur. Maybe the Koyach of Kol Nidre is a greater power than a regular Stindat Toras Nidaret. Okay, another thing is, there's a very interesting thing, I've seen this, remember, I think this last year, is there's such a concept, Kol Nidre is not just Mimatu Neder. There's some type of, there are very spooky expressions that we say of HaKol Mutloch, HaKol Shrim Loch. These expressions of kapara, mechulim lach, we use expressions of kapara, and therefore, ideally, the rabbi, holy people, will only do hataras nedarim from people who already already went through the process of hataras nedarim. Yovo zakai, the zakel acherim. If you're sitting in a bezdin, and the people that are being mata your nedarim did not yet have hataras nedarim, so exactly, first you have to have kapar from a person who already has atonement. So ideally, there are different madrigals of hataras nedarim. If you're going to be the first one, you're in trouble. Exactly. So it's better to get someone. This is just theoretical, just to bring out the point. To bring out the point is hataras nedarim is not just a business deal. There's something holy about it. And the proof is that they were the Gedolei Yisrael, they were very makbid, they strove to only have a Toras Nedarim from people who already have gone through the process of a Toras Nedarim. These people are pure, and the pure will come and make other people pure. Yavo Tohar Vitar Acherim. Okay, then there's something called a Toras Klolos. You ever hear of this? In some of the Machzorim, there's a Torah of curses. Sometimes people are subject to curses. But the difference is, for a Torah of a curse, you need 10 people. 3 are not enough. What? Someone cursed, or a person that has been cursed. The person is
I've seen a Shavinic that the Arab Elul,
every hataras klolos, but you need 10 people. You need 10 people. Okay, there's a very interesting nusach, Rav Steinman. Okay, Rav Steinman, he wrote a short nusach, and Rav Chaim Kinievsky, it seems that they I don't know who they use it for. Instead of reading the long nusach, they composed a very short nusach to be matir neder. So if you're on the run, you're very busy, you can't sit around and shul for a long time, I'll read you the nusach. And it captures the essence. Mischoreit ani al kol hanedarim ushvuos. I have charot on all of the vows and oaths. V'chein kol minog tov shenahakti v'lo yamarti sheyehei b'li neder. If had I known that I would have had charata, I never would have made this vow or made the shvua. Had I known I would have that I not been able to prevail and fulfill, I would have said bli neder even for the minhagim. I ask of you the best, and you should be matir. That's all you got to say. That's the whole nusach. And what do people respond? Mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. That's it. That's the whole thing. You finish. It's all you. That is the essence of Hataras Nedarim. He says that in yeshivas, this is what they did in the yeshivas, he says. He says, the person writing Rav Teshin says that we use this nusach in yeshiva. We didn't say the long nusach. People were too busy. So you just can say this very, very quickly. Okay, some places and some shuls, they do it as a whole group. Okay, most shuls, they do it in groups of 4. And everyone goes through the whole process. But in some places, everyone gets up and they say in front of 3 people. And the 3 people are matir. It saves a lot of time. People are busy. I don't know. Okay, let's go to the next thing. Rosh Hashanah cannot be come out in 3 days. Lo adu rosh. Rosh Hashanah can never come out on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, and a Friday. Why not? Why did Chazal construct the calendar in such a way that it can never happen? So as far as Wednesday and Friday, You don't want Yom Kippur to be back to back with Shabbos. You don't want a Friday Shabbos, a Shabbos Sunday Yom Kippur, because why 2 days when you can't do Melacha Min HaTorah? Shabbos, you can, even Yom Tov, 2 days Yom Tov, you can do Melacha. Rosh Hashanah, you also can do Melacha. You can do Melacha Litzarech Eichel Nefesh. But on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, you can't do Melacha Afilu Litzarech Eichel Nefesh. It's Sakana. It's Pikuach Nefesh. People don't have what to eat. You need food. You need to prepare food. You can't do it 2 days Shabbos. Melech Chazal were clever and made sure that Rosh Hashanah should never be on a Thursday or a Friday, in order that it should not be 2 days back to back. Why did Chazal also insist that Rosh Hashanah should not be on a Sunday? Because if Rosh Hashanah was on Sunday, then Hashanah Rabbah would be on Shabbos. So what's so terrible, Hashanah Rabbah on Shabbos? We would not be able to do the meeting of Chibut Arava. The Paiskim are very disturbed, because what's so terrible? Why can't you do Chibut Arava on Shabbos? What's so terrible? What are you doing? So you break, it's already detached. So you break the leaves. First of all, the Chavon is not to break, just to hit. If the leaves fall off, it's Dover Shem Mishavin. And even Shail, you might come to carry. L'chori, you'll come to carry the Hashanis to Shul on Shabbos. Even though you can bring before Shabbos, like Arava, like Lulav, Memela, they don't want to do it on Shabbos. This minhag is so precious, even though it's not recorded anywhere. Memela, we start, it's a very fascinating thing. We start off the year to be Mekayim and Minhag. On the base HaMikdash, did they do it on Shabbos?
It says that
they left the year before Shabbos. I just want to point out, this is an amazing limud musar. I told you many times, Shul Salanti once was in Shul and they did not have a kittel for Talu Geshen, and they told him the nearest kittel is an hour journey away. So he says, okay, we'll wait, go get the kittel. We're going to wait an hour. So they were shocked. I was so Salanter, the big Baal Musar, Tircha de Tzibura, the whole shul's going to wait for 1 hour to go get a kittel. What do you need a kittel for? You don't have a kittel. It'll be the same Tal and Geshem. The nigun will be the same. So he said to them, what do we have today? We have Beis HaMikdash. We have Kribanos. We have Mitzvah. What do we really have today? All we have left are minhagim. The essence, the nature of Klal Yisrael, the minhagim Yisrael. It's kedai. We should wait an hour to preserve minhag Yisrael. This concept is reflected in the very beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Lo adu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah cannot be Aleph. The first thing is Aleph. Aleph, Dalavav is Yom Kippur. Okay, but Aleph. Rosh Hashanah cannot be on a Sunday. You know why? Because the minhag. Where does it say to take the Hashanah, to bang it on the floor? Where in the Torah does it say this? It's a minhag nevi'im, an ancient minhag. It's a custom. It has no mamash, no makar. We right away concern the very beginning with the minhagei Yisrael. Because that captures the whole flavor of Klal Yisrael. Once you start chipping away at the minhagim, that's it. That's the end. So meridika yisoid, and how far minhagim go, how much has to be upon our conscience as we begin the year. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Are you allowed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah? Are you allowed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah? So we all know it says in Kabbalah that if someone sleeps on Rosh Hashanah, his mazel will be asleep. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Ari HaKadosh, after Chatzos, smooth sailing. Once you got through Chatzos Hayom, you can go to sleep. It's certainly better to go to sleep than to talk Lashon Hara and to say the Chazan was no good.
Finish davening before, so you can have a
suda. Yeah, have the suda. Okay, so we're not so nizer in that. It's many poskim say it's an aver l'shma. Better daven after chatzos, use up your time, because I being home, coming home too early, is just asking for trouble. So better stay in shul the whole day. There's no question about it. In time of Chazal, on Yom Kippur, they were not in shul the whole day. Yom Kippur, they daven, they were finished davening by 9 o'clock. And what do they do the rest of the day? Whatever. They do whatever they did. whatever. Today, you know, if you're not in shul the whole day, you know, everyone is like, oh, it's not good for shidduchim. It's not good for shidduchim. You have to be in shul the whole day, and then you have to come and brag that we only had a 5-minute break between mincha and ne'ilah, right? The whole day, nonstop davening, got to stretch it. I got to torture everyone. Why? But this is not what Chazal did in ancient times. Not even Rosh Hashanah in the yeshivas, they daven very, very long. So they all say it's because stay out of trouble. The longer you're in shul, the less trouble you'll make during the day, sometimes in shul you get into more trouble, more fights in shul. Okay, but the point is about sleeping. You're not supposed to sleep because of mazel. After Chatzos, you can sleep. Now, what about big shilas? What about waking up after 7 o'clock? Let's say in your shul they daven at 8 o'clock or 8:30, 9 o'clock. What time are you waking up? Oh, davening is 9 o'clock. I'm not going to wake up until at least 8 o'clock. But you're sleeping. You're sleeping, Alois HaShach, I make believe it's 6 o'clock. So you're sleeping 2 hours into the day. So you're starting off Rosh Hashanah with a Shachar Mazel. It's a very big problem. And indeed, there are many, many opinions that say because of this Chazal, this tradition from the Zohar, on Rosh Hashanah, you got to be up and about before Alois HaShachar. So you should not enter in the year with a sleepy Mazel. Others say, no, that's not what Chazal means. It means don't go to sleep. Don't get up and go. But if you're already sleeping from the night before, there's nothing wrong if you maintain the status quo that does not affect the mosque. It's an issue, a very interesting issue of we're all familiar with going to sleep after. But we don't focus on going to sleep before. Okay, are you allowed to eat nuts? Are you allowed to eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah? So the minig is not to eat nuts. Why? Because eggos is bigamatria chait. The problem is it's not. It's not bigamatria chait. 17 and 18, so there's an extra aleph. So don't be medactic, right? Don't be medactic. So you mean chait without an aleph, or one is not ma'akev. But chait is also bigamatria toiv. Ego is also bigamatria toiv. Good. Toif. So, what do you draw the line? So, since it's not the only, the other concepts. Ego is the gematria is mesamel golos. There's a medrash. Ego is.
If you leave out the aleph,
same way it's chait. Same way.
Chait is the same thing.
Okay, but the other one of them which caught my attention is a medrash that compares klal yishol to an ego is to a nut. The golos to a golos. Gullus, because the medrash says that nuts typically are filthy dirty. They're found out in the street because they have a very hard shell. They have a hard shell. They fall off the tree. They're dirty. They're full of mud. They roll around. They're kicked around. But what do? You take them out. You crack open the shell and you take out the fruit part, the nut. The little portion, and it's delicious. It's clean, it's delicious. This is Mesamel, the Klal Yishol's journey in Golos. Klal Yishol, they're dirty, they're filthy in Golos, they roll around from place to place, they're kicked around. Nuts are abused. That's talk of the nature. Children, they play nuts, they're abused. But even though they're abused, the Panemius always remains clean and pure and delicious. So this is what the Medrash says, Klal Yishol, even though they go through Golos, we don't have to worry, we remain pure. It's a very nice medrash. The problem though is, on Rosh Hashanah, Mayor, you leaving? I want to talk to you before you go. The problem is that even though it's a beautiful medrash, but we don't want to be mesamel golos on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a time of geula. It's a time we're yearning for geula. And being the egos is mesamel golos. We don't want to be masala, we want to focus on the ghoul, and that's why we don't eat nuts. Minig is not eat nuts. And I'll just tell you another quick part. We know that on Pesach it says in Shulchan Aruch you're supposed to distribute the nuts to children. He's supposed to give the nuts to children, to keep them up. So the Bali Musar say, I think I saw this, Masar Shalom Shalbels. What nuts do you give them? You give them the nuts that you didn't eat on Rosh Hashanah. It's a beautiful minhag. Think about this. Rosh Hashanah, you come to the Rosh Hashanah, on the table there should be nuts. Buy nuts for Rosh Hashanah. They'll think you're crazy in the store. What are you buying nuts? You don't know the Chazal? No. You buy the nuts. You buy the nuts and you put the nuts and you say to the child, would you like some nuts?
No.
No. Chet. We're going to put it away for Pesach. Pesach you eat the nuts. Oh, but the knot is chet. So first of all, it's very natural. This is a chazal of golos. Because the knots, Pesach is a man of that's the time of golos. So we eat the nuts, we break the shell. The time of gula. So we break away the shell. Okay, we break away the shell and we take the panemius. It represents when you shatter the shell, you eat it. The klipa. But the Sar Shom Shalbel says because the knot, you tell the child is chet. And the Yadim Noirohim, when you do tshuva me'yira, zidoinois, nasa kishkogos. But it's still chet. It's a shkoga. It's a shkoga. It's a chet. Zidoinois, your sins turn into shkogos. Pesach is a zman of tshuva me'ava, the avas hanes, the zechuyos nase, the azvoinois nase, zechuyos merits. So now you eat it. So to illustrate,
so if you keep the nuts for Pesach, the Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to eat it.
You pick it from Rosh Hashanah to Pesach. Okay. All right. We'll stop here.